I titled this Knowledge Equals Victory. Knowledge Equals Victory. That's the title I gave it. Let's go to Psalms 8 in the New King James Version. Psalms 8, we'll read verse 4 to 6. Pastor arrived very well in Israel. He wrote a WhatsApp to say he arrived well. He's had a good time there. He was sending some pictures with the president's wife or the prime minister's wife and some other dignitaries. And I was thinking, you're having a fabulous time. I can't tell you're having a fabulous time. And so, yes, that's why he's not with us. And again, I'm honored. I'm honored to stand before you to share the word of God, to commune the holiness of God. It's never a simple matter. And therefore, I offer thanksgiving to Pastor for giving me this opportunity. So Psalms 8, verse 4 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels," and we've been taught previously that word angels there actually should be a little lower than Elohim. So we've been made a little lower than God, not the angels. But you know, in transcribing things, words get exchanged. "And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Excuse me. "You have put all things under his feet." This scripture is, of course, it's in the Old Testament, but it's a scripture that really describes how God likes relating with us and how God was relating with the people in the Old Testament. And whenever I read this scripture, what comes up to mind is that not only is God mindful of us, not only is he mindful of us, but he is highly involved in caring for us. You know, it's not every day that you have people visiting you. Okay, if you have children, you can have a lot of visitors because children invite their friends every now and then. Unintended, however, if you have children, you have visitors. If you have teenagers, you'll have visitors somehow. Okay, but for some of us, it's not usually you have visitors. So to have a visitor, you treasure it. You understand? You treasure it. So God not only is mindful of us, but he is highly involved in caring for us. We read in Genesis that when God prepared everything before he created man. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that every supply was in place before man showed up. That's how much God cares for us. And we see here that in the Old Testament, God would visit his people. And reading the Old Testament, we will see that he will visit from time to time. He will use prophets from time to time to talk to his people. But in the New Testament, God indwells within his people. So he is not a visitor anymore. He is an indweller. He indwells within his people as the person of the Holy Spirit. So, but we can tell that in both scenarios, whether by visitation or indwelling, his objective is to enlighten his people on his ways. He does not just show up to show up. You understand? He is not just within us. The Holy Spirit is not just within us because he needed a house. He is within us so that he can enlighten us on the ways of God. Why? So that we can enjoy the life of glory and honor that he offers us. And what is that? It's a good life. If you're living the life of glory, you're living a good life. And that is what God would offer his people. That's what we read in those scriptures there. In verse 5, it says, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." And we have been taught very well of what the word glory and what it includes. It's his goodness, it's his kindness, it's his favor, it's his provision, it's every good thing that he offers. So then I can be correct to say that God never intended that his people be in lack. It isn't. When he is offering us glory, you cannot quantify the things, those kind of things, lack or sick or oppressed or depressed or defeated or ashamed or even in doubt of your future. All those things, I will say that they are is the devil who breeds them. That's what we read in John 10:10. That the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. So that's not the flow of the kingdom of God. But he came that we might have life and have it in abundance. And I like what the Amplified says, to the fullest until it overflows. So not only does God want us to have enough, he wants us to have more than enough. So that's the life of glory, okay? So God's word provides the knowledge of his goodness. For what purpose? To counteract the evil strategies of the kingdom of darkness. So that's why I thought that title, knowledge equals victory. Okay? That's what God offers us. It's his goodness. Let's go to 2 Peter 2, verse 3 in the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation, please. Oh, sorry. It's 2 Peter 1. I do this sometimes. Yes, it's 2 Peter 1, 3, but I've written it 2 here. So this is what the scripture says, that everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him, who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. There's a lot of weighty words here that we can learn a lot and lay hold of and run with them and experience the life of the glory. So the keynote here is that God has already deposited the supply in us. You cannot forget that from today, please. Everything that you need is within you. Okay? Because it says he has already. Everything we need, we could ever need, not just what we need now. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited within us. So then the supply is within us. Whatever you need and whatever you will ever need is within proximity. It's not out there. Don't make trips to look for it over there. I remember when I was a little girl, maybe not little, teenage kind of, there used to be a Kikuyu station and there used to be a guy called Gaiduma Wakimumu. You've never heard of him, so don't even bother Googling him. He was not, you won't find him there. And then he was jocular, and he would say that there was a time, I can't remember who it was, there was somebody, a prophetess, that was somewhere in Kawangware, this cultish ones. And so there used to be masses of people making trips to go to the prophetess to hear the word. And now, I was not born again. And Kaiduma would say, would in the morning when he would speak to the Kikuyu station, he would say, and let me help you all my people. Please do not waste your money going to look for Jesus in Kawangware. Because as you're traveling to look for Jesus in Kawangware, you're leaving him right there in your homestead. He wasn't born again, but he had some understanding. And that's why he is telling us. It's within, it's not out there. So don't waste your money to go to look for what you're requiring out there, because it is within reach. It's within your proximity. But then what we see here is that the weak link in not accessing what we need or what we will ever need, the weak link is limited knowledge. It's the limited knowledge of how to bring it out into the tangible, feasible, touchable format in the realm that we are living in. But wherever you're walking, you're carrying, you're loaded. Wherever you're going, you're loaded. Whatever you're needing is within here. But then, if the weak link is limited knowledge, then if you have a weak link, what do you need to do? Is to work on it to become strong, isn't it? I mean, it's common sense. If whatever you know is weakening, even within your body, you don't just sit there and keep hoping that it will become strong. I keep saying I'm not a mountain climber, I'm not a jogger, I'm not all those, I don't. But that does not mean that I'm going to stand there and become a weak shosho. That's not my plan. Honestly, that's not my plan. So I have to know what I need to do. You understand? So you all don't think that I am lazy because I say I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. I have my secret weapon and I do it. Why? Because I'm telling you, this body, you don't organize it correctly before you know. I'm walking like this. And you're trying to say, elder, how qualified to be an elder? Not the anointed one, this one. If I'm not careful. So 4 times a week. I have my 30-minute session. Don't ask me what I do, because I don't want you to laugh at me, but I do. I strengthen my bones. I strengthen my body, because I wanted to live long, to carry the anointing. Okay? Yeah. When Psalms 91 talks about that, with long life have you been satisfied? Weakness is not satisfaction. Weak legs is not satisfaction. It isn't. So everybody needs to do what they need to do to become what they need to become. So if your weak link is limited knowledge, then what must we do? We must seek for that knowledge, because that's what will give us the access that we need. So we see here that in the Old Testament, God would visit his people to explain what they needed to do. But thank God for Jesus. Now in the New Testament, we don't have to wait for the annual visitations. We have the Holy Ghost within us, and Jude 20 tells us how to strengthen ourselves. What does it say? That this is how we strengthen ourselves. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost will give you knowledge. Praying in the Holy Ghost will give you understanding. Praying in the Holy Ghost will close the weak link and strengthen the weak points, isn't it? So we have the elements to become what God is wanting us to become, a glorious church. Okay? So when you know that your supply is in place, because we know it's in place, it's within us, okay? When you know that your supply is in place, then you have no reason to walk a worried life. Why do people worry? Because they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to do what they don't know what to do. There used to be another song in Kikuyu, they would sing that, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know, so you don't know what to do. If I was a good singer, I would sing it. But I am not living here ashamed. with some people will tell me tone F. I don't know. Are they key F or C? I don't even know what they are. So I will not try. But when I'm alone in my bathroom, I sing. It's a beautiful song to the Lord. Yeah. But that's the thing. But now that we know that our supply is in place, then you have no reason to worry. It's like somebody who has a bank account. Isn't it, Joshua? If you have a fat bank account, do you care whether the toilet paper is cost as they have added 5 shillings? You really don't worry. To somebody else is a lot of money. But to somebody with a fat bank account or somebody with a huge investment, they are thinking, I have supply for this year, I have supply for next year, I've already made supply for my retirement. Those people don't worry. Why? Because they have knowledge of where their supply is. Okay, that's in the natural realm. So when we grasp God's plan for us as Christians, when you grasp God's plan for you, then the noise out here does not bother you at all. Is there noise? A lot of noise. Whichever direction you turn, when you wake up, when you get into the office, when you're riding on the matatu or however you, wherever you find it, there is noise about all the things that are happening. But that does not bother a person who understands that their supply is in place, because they know where it is. It's one thing to hear about it, but it's another thing to know that it is in place. Once you know that your supply is in place, then really all the noises don't bother you. I remember a couple of years I was talking with a group of ladies. No, I wasn't addressing them, but we were talking, and somebody said, you know how they like the cliche, there is no money, so things are difficult, and everybody is going around saying that. One woman stood and said, excuse me, let everybody speak for themselves. And I thought, I like your attitude, girl. And she said, and the other one said, what do you mean? I said, I have no money problem. So you cannot generalize us all. I do not have a money problem. You all, if you have a money problem, don't include me. I said, I like your nasty attitude. It's good. It's good. Right there, she shot that enemy. I'm telling you, everybody was. And literally, there was something that needed to be done. But you know how people use excuses. Because in most cases, it's excuses. Because if you're in faith, even if you don't have money in your pocket, shut your mouth about there is no money. Keep quiet and say, God will supply to all our needs. So this woman, I still love her because of that attitude. Because she shut the enemy right there. And I believe once you grasp God's plan, the noise out there doesn't bother you at all. But this is the thing. You must make the decision to make the withdrawal. It's one thing to know you have a supply. You can have a big fat account. But if you never bother to make the withdrawal, can you go hungry with a fat account? Absolutely. When I was growing up in my village, there was a man who I never saw him in a pair of shoes. He would use the patty patties. The it's not even party parties, the tire, what do you call them? Akala, those ones. Now you can tell I don't know Swahili. Those ones. He will use those ones and all his life, and he will use Kenyatta. Now tell me what you call Kenyatta in Kiswahili. That one, the short. He will use the short all his life. And he had a shop, and that shop was big and it was running, but that man, I never, he never wore shoes, he never wore a trouser, and he had just like a shirt all his life. And the man died. The village was shocked. That man, and it is years back, that man had in his bank account 5.5 million. 5.5. His children grew in poverty. His family lived in poverty. All he did was business for banking. I can't tell you how glad the bank manager of that bank was. I'm sure he built a full bank without knowing. Because, you know, they will never come and tell you use your money. They're using your money to make their business. But that's what I mean. If you must make the decision to make the withdrawal in order to be able to enjoy that supply. And this is where knowledge becomes critical for us as Christians. We cannot be carriers of a bank that is filled and stacked with provision, and we are walking lacking, wanting, defeated. No, we cannot. So whatever it takes, we must, because if not, then we suffer as though the supply is not there. And yet we read in that scripture, God has already deposited everything we will ever need within us. So we must do whatever it takes. So we take two learnings from this passage. Number one is knowing him. Let me read that scripture again. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him. Knowing him. So then I can say, knowing him is the password to the heavenly account. If we are disinterested in knowing God, it does not matter the load that you're carrying. You can carry the load like an old Ford lorry, but it will not help you. Once you get where you're going, some other people will be offloading and using it. The driver of the old Ford lorry is going back empty. But we are carrying the load. So knowing him is the password. Then I can say our focus must be abiding in the word in order to know his ways. In order to know how do I make this withdrawal. Because where would he deposit you with something that he never wants you to enjoy? I mean, that would be not fair on God. That I carried all this all my life, and I'm coming to heaven defeated. Why? It cannot be. So, I believe this is where the scripture in Romans 12, either 1, 2, or 3, verse 3 says that we need to know what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Do you see there's a graduation? Yeah, we need to know, because there is the good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God. But it takes a seeker to know all that. Let's go to 1 John 8:32, just to emphasize in the Passion Translation, just to emphasize that point of knowing God. John 8:32. Mm-hmm. In the Passion Translation, please. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I am, but for if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives. Okay, maybe, you know, sometimes when they refresh the Passion Translation, it reads differently. Let me read my upgraded version. This is what it says. Jesus, forgive me. Now you know I have fun with myself. This is what it says. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, when you continue to embrace all that I teach, it was my mistake. We were starting from verse 31. Okay. It's a good thing I'm your mother. You can't reprimand me. So this is what it says. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, when you continue to embrace all that I teach, please take that phrase, When you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives. Can it get better than that? It can't. How do you get into the freedom of enjoying the life of glory? It's continuing to embrace all that I teach. Okay? So, when you embrace all, that means I'm not selective in what I'm taking. I am ever ready to embrace all that the Bible is teaching me. You know, one of the things that ails the life of a Christian is they decide what to obey, how to obey, and when to obey. That's not embracing. That's picking and choosing. When you pick and choose, even though you're lying to yourself that you're in obedience, you're actually not in obedience. This is how it works. Somebody might know, they know, this is my call, this is where I'm supposed, how I'm supposed to be serving, or this is the area God has called me. But because there is another area that looks maybe better, glamorous, more paying, I would rather be in this one. Are they doing something? Yes. But are they obeying? No. Will they enjoy some benefits? Somehow. But will they enjoy the fullness of the benefits? No. Why? Because they are in disobedience. Remember, you are supposed to do God's things, God's ways, not your ways. Okay? So that's what he is saying. Continue to embrace all that I teach. Then you will prove that you are a true follower. The secret to accessing the complete supply is being a full follower, not a partial follower. Okay? Let's look at another scripture to qualify knowing him. Psalms 119:130 is a scripture we know very well. We pray a lot with it. Still in the Passion Translation, Psalm 119:130. Okay. I will read from mine. Truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. Can you see why the word is important? And knowing him is important. Why? Because his word is the light. And that word is guiding me in the choices and the decisions, and revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. So that means all darkness is eliminated. Why? Because I am following the light that is guiding me. And that light is the word of God. And what does the word do to us? It reveals God to us. So that's how we know him. So then I'll be correct to say that clarity equals answers. If you are having vagueness in whatever area, will you arrive at the full answer? No, you won't. Dan, you are an accountant. If your balance sheets are not adding up, what does that mean? There's something somewhere that is not correctly entered. Okay? Yeah, that's vagueness. But once the light highlights it and you can see, oh, this is the entry that is causing the formulas not to add up correctly. Once you identify it, what do you have? Clarity. Clarity equals answers. Okay? So, that's point one, knowing him. Point two is God has lavished us. This must get into our thinking, into our makeup, into everything that we are. God has lavished us. So I will say this then, that your need will never surpass God's supply. So then I don't have to worry of whatever I will need in the future and the magnitude of it. The size of my family does not shake God. It doesn't shake God because there is no need that will ever surpass the supply of God. That's why Philippians 4:19 that we like very much says, I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have, for I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through Jesus Christ. So Paul was talking out of a revelation, and he is saying, guys, as relax, chill out. There's nothing that is not available for you. God is able to supply everything that you will ever need, okay? According not to your hard work, not according to your family background, not according to your profession, according to, yeah, Jesus Christ. He's already done it, okay? So then, any area of lack, in whichever area, is a gap in your faith capacity. That's what I will say. Because my God shall supply all that I need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Has Jesus done all he needed to do? Yes, he has. So is there a lack in my area? I'll lift up both hands. But then that means that there is a faith capacity gap in my life. So then how do I address it? I will say that look at each day as a container that needs filling up. Please, don't rest your case and say, we heard it, we've been hearing it, we have always heard it, and so let's just wait. No, we shouldn't wait. Every day is an opportunity. So we look at each day as a container. Compartmentalize your day and say, today I build my faith to this much. But because I build my faith to this much, that doesn't mean tomorrow I will not. Because this was a separate container. Today is a separate container. If I say the way Pastor Davy says, he says, did the ugali you ate last week supplying to your need today? No, it isn't. It's the same principle with faith. So look at each day as a container that needs filling up with faith. You fill it with faith, fill it with love, fill it with joy. Why? That's what makes the difference between those who are struggling and those who are reigning in life. So the choice is yours. Do you want to reign in life? Then keep working at your container. Okay? Supply it, fill it up, fill it up. It's what we do daily. So every day contains obedience to be walked out. So if you're not obedient this day, guess what? You've created a gap somewhere. But if you continue to sustain your obedience daily, what will you find? You'll find that there is an acceleration in your withdrawal process from the supply of God. Okay? Yeah. So, and again, this is a choice. Nobody can force nobody. So then I can say, as you fill up your faith tank, let me call it a faith tank, as you fill up your faith tank, God releases the supply you're capable of stewarding at that level. Yeah. So who then is responsible for the level of your stewardship? It's moi. Okay? Yeah, it's me and you, and you and you and you and you, each one of us. Because God just releases it according to the how capable you are of stewarding it. Why do I say that? Because God is not partial. We've read it over and over. We know it over and over. God is not partial. But then I want to add, God is not wasteful. Because sometimes we can construe the words of God to mean that God is not partial. So however I live, whatever I do, if I don't do, if I do, God is not partial. This is the thing. He is not partial, but he is not wasteful. He is not wasteful. That means, remember again, let me remind you, the key to the entrance of that is what? Through the knowledge of him. So knowledge must be applied so that you are stewarded with more of his supply, because you're not going to waste it. That's why stewardship has to be measured for how you will be provided the supply. His goodness can only be stewarded his way, not our way. That we must settle once and for all. That's why when we go to Matthew 6:33, which is my final scripture because I want us to pray. Matthew 6:33 says, in the Amplified Classic, please. In the Amplified Classic, Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek, aim at, and strive after. Do those words include you? Seek, aim at, and strive after. This is activity. This is not we are waiting. This is we are working at it. We are working at it. We are seeking. We are aiming at and we are striving after first all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So basically, let's look at the Passion Translation, how it words that scripture. The Passion Translation, this is what it says. So above all, constantly, you see it's talking about a constancy. Chase after. It's chasing walking. No, chasing is not sleeping. Chasing is not sitting down. Chasing is not case, Sarah, Sarah. Whatever will be, will be. If that is your spiritual position, I can guarantee you, you will enter heaven, but we don't know in what state. We don't know. But because you love Jesus, you will enter there. You know, I'm telling you, you can enter heaven beaten up. Or you can enter heaven with a swing, a swag. And you sing, yeah. We enjoyed it. Life was good on earth. We followed your way of doing and being. And here we come marching in. You understand? That's what it says. Constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Not from what they're teaching in university. I'm not bashing any university. Please go attend university and get all your degrees. But let them not override the word of the Lord. There's a scripture, I think it's probably someone in the Passion Translation that talks about that. There is no godly wisdom taught in university. Well, it says colleges of higher learning. Isn't that university? That's what it says. But that's what it says. The righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. So whatever we require, whatever is necessary, as far as God is concerned, they are less important. But look at the key. If we are constantly chasing after the realm of the Spirit, the kingdom of God, the word of God, dedicating time in prayer, intercession, supplication, dedication, consecration, before you realize you're waking up in the morning, everything was supplied. People are asking me to become, I'm telling you, I've been experiencing some breakthroughs and I'm thinking, God, you are amazing. Some people calling me and saying, I want you to do caretake for my house and I'll be paying you this much. And I'm like, what? I never asked for it. It's coming. It comes. Why? Because, and I'm not, honestly, I'm just praising the Lord. I'm not bragging because I have serious need for help, okay? I'm serious need for help and I'm seeking to be helped, you understand? But I'm saying that to say that God has a way of providing the less important things when your priority is I'm going to seek your kingdom, I'm going to seek your way of doing, I'm not going to do it my way. Why? Because when you are at my age, there is a lot you have done your way and you have seen the destination of doing it your way. Okay? So I'm not going to do that foolishness at my age, and I want to encourage you, Rose, don't do the foolishness at your age either. Esmili, we are seeking the kingdom of God, isn't it? Every one of us has an opportunity to seek his way of doing and being right. What will that do to us? It will strengthen every weak link. Every weak link. And then before we realize, my goodness, open doors, breakthroughs, breakthroughs, open doors, breakthroughs. And before we know, I'm telling you, we are building the kingdom in exponential ways that we will never have done. Why? Because he is the one that gives the less important. So money is less important, houses are less important, vehicles are less important, careers are less important. But that, I like God. He did not say they are not important. He just added the word less. So what are we praying tonight? The priority. The priority is to seek knowledge. The priority is to seek to fill our spiritual tanks with the capacity of faith. We want to believe God for revelation of the word of God. We want to believe God for revelation of how do we walk in the love walk. Remember in, I think it's Mark 11:24, when Jesus was talking about you can move mountain if you, whatever you need when you pray, ask and believe. But then just before he closed the sentence, he says, however, if you have anything against anybody, lay it down. Why? Because faith works by love. So the love walk, we want to fill our tanks with the love walk. We want to fill our tanks with the priority. What is the priority? The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The purposes of God. The house of the Lord. We were not brought to this house of the Lord just to come and spectate. We were brought in this house of the Lord that we may be conduits, supply joints that are supplying so that the kingdom of God here can blossom. You understand? So tonight I'd like us to stand up and just to go before the Lord and ask, Lord, how to fill my tank with your ways. Fill my tank with how things are done. Fill my tank with how I can give me the how, show me how to access the supply that is within me. And this supply is not primarily for me, it's primarily for the kingdom. Because once you are aligned in kingdom businesses, he says all these other things that are under, they will just be popping, coming into place, coming into place. Why? Because you are cruising in the spiritual realm the way that he would like your life to go. And therefore, he says, she's there. This is required for that. This is required for that. This is required for that. And we'll be a strong army for the Lord, isn't it? So can you please stand up? We pray and believe in God for just our tanks to be refueled with the purposes of God, with the spirit to pray, the spirit to do the ways of God, the spirit to give in the house of the Lord, the spirit to serve one another, the spirit to love one another, the spirit to support our pastors in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh, we thank you for leaving us, your spirit with us. Again, we wonder, how could we live without your spirit? But how grateful we are that your spirit is not with us. He is within us. And the Bible tells us that out of our belly shall flow rivers of life-giving water. So as we pray in tongues tonight on our own behalf and on behalf of our brethren, we are tapping from the deposits of the kingdom of God that are deposited within us. We are drawing out all that pertain to life and godliness that we need, each one of us at a different level, but collectively as a body at a unity level. So as we pray in tongues tonight, oh God, we pray by the Spirit. We pray accurately. Take our tongues and use them to declare the purposes of God tonight as we pray in tongues. Let's just pray in tongues, believing God. Kayema shanda riba basa basibata rabashanda saka kasata sakande riba bashata riba baza. Reba bote rabashata. Oh, to know you, God, to know you better, to know you deeper, to know you more intimately, to experience you, to be interlaced with you, to be linked to you, to be loved, oh Lord our God, in the way that you have purpose to love us, oh God, to know you as our longing, to know your ways as what we long for, to do your will, oh Lord our God, to pursue your purposes, oh God, to know the purposes of God, to do the purposes of God, to experience the glory of the age, to walk hand in hand with you, to love the ways of the Holy Spirit, to obey the Holy Spirit of God, to experience His ways and His purposes. Oh, Ramachata, Karebosa, Kasata, Karemacha, Tarebabasa, Karebabashanda, Ramamaza, Arebabashanda, Rababasa, Basebabashata, Rabasa, Kazabashata, Satasa, Rebabosheta, Sete, Rebeserebata, Oh, Ramachanda, Rebabasa, Oremashota, Rebaso, Karebabasha, Karemasonde, Rebesekekete. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Oh, the Bible says that there are vessels in the house of the Lord. There are vessels of gold. There are vessels of silver. There are vessels of bronze. And there are vessels of clay. Each one of them is usable in the house of the Lord. But it's usable to the magnitude of the knowing of the purposes of God. So tonight, Lord, it's our heart's desire to know you in new levels, in deeper levels, oh God, to experience you, oh God, in the fullness of your glory. The eyes of our understanding be enlightened that we may know what is the hope of our calling. God, you're not just keeping us on earth. Staying on earth is the only reason, oh Lord our God, that we would have failed the work of the cross. The work of the cross was that we may receive the fullness of God. The Bible tells us as He is, so are we in this world. And therefore, we can only be effective in the world if we are doing what we need to do the way you have role modeled to us. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, oh, we submit our will to your will. We submit our ways to your ways. We submit our thoughts to your thoughts, oh God. We submit our little plans to the great plan of God. The great plan of God has never failed. It will never fail. The Bible reminds us that of your kingdom there shall be no end. Therefore, we cannot end date our calling, oh God, because our calling is eternal. Therefore, we engage in the ways of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that you will rule and reign in the lives of this congregation, that this congregation understand the mandate of the season and the age that we are living in, that we are not called to be nice. We are called to be effective. We are called to be impactful. We are called to be demonstrators of the ways and the purposes of God. We are called to bar echo what God is saying. We are called to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying. We are called to be able to walk where the Spirit is wanting us to walk. We are called to walk in the ways and the purposes of God. So Lord, tonight, oh, we want to know you. We want to know you, the fullness of the Godhead. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit reside within our spirit. That's why Hebrews 1:4 will say that our spirits have been sealed with the sealant of the Holy Spirit of God. there cannot be, the salvation we have cannot be undone unless we deny it. And we know that in this congregation, nobody is interested or has the propensity to deny the power of the cross. Therefore, we reverence what Jesus has done, and we reverence the person of the Holy Spirit. We allow you to move the way you want to move in this congregation, prompting people, highlighting to them the purposes of God for their lives, showing them the place of their positioning, whether in the family, whether in the church, whether in their workplace, whether in their businesses, wherever they find themselves, oh God. I declare, because their tanks are full of the divine plan of God, and they are looking how to do things according to the way of God, then they will always be effective. Therefore, tonight, in the name of Jesus, we declare this victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in the Word of God. And therefore, as we elevate the Word of God daily in our prayer time, daily in our reading of the Word, daily in our communing to each other, daily, oh Lord our God, we are being filled up. We are being filled up. And therefore, we are being transformed from glory to glory, from level to level. Oh God, we declare that this congregation continues to increase in the desire for the will of God to happen wherever they find themselves. There is a great commission that is yet to be finalized, oh God. And we find ourselves at the center of the call of God, even with KSCF. In the name of Jesus, we declare passion for souls. Passion for souls in this congregation. Passion for souls, oh God. The greatest work we can do is the work of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That does not necessarily mean a pulpit. It means a desire to see lives transformed. So to some of us is in a time of prayer and intercession and supplication. To some of us, oh God, is in the giving of the substances of the prosperity that you have put in our hands, oh God. To some of us, it's just loving people, being gracious to people, being kind to people, being available to do whatever little is required, oh God. We can never exhaust the ways to serve you and to serve each other. So we declare in the name of Jesus that we are seeking after your kingdom, your way of doing and being right. God, that's what we are running for. That's what we are chasing. Because as we chase after your kingdom, oh God, every less thing will be placed according to the stewardship that you have entrusted us with. So, Father, we pray that you will find this congregation trustworthy of more of your stewardship. But we have to prove ourselves, oh God, not in laboring, but just in simple obedience, oh God. Deuteronomy 28 says that if you obey the ways of God, then all these blessings, benefits, promises of a life that is full of and overflowing is available to a heart that is obedient. God, may you make the hearts of the congregants of Victory Faith members obedient to the purposes of God, obedient to the Word of God. The Bible has challenged us tonight and has told us that we embrace all your teaching. We want it all, oh God. And therefore, we cannot obey what we don't know. Therefore, we are speaking faith to our hearts and say that blessed are our hearts, for they understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are not burdensome to us. They are light to us. And therefore, we find our pleasure in reading your word and obeying your word. So tonight, we thank you, God, for depositing, oh, just a mandate of seeking after you afresh as a congregation. So help us, Lord. So help us, Holy Spirit. So Jesus, we already know that you're seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for us, that each one of us, O God, will run the race with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joys that were set before him endured the cross. Our pastor has been speaking to us and challenging us not to look for conveniences, but to chase after the kingdom of God and to seek for ways to serve in the kingdom of God. And even where inconveniences arise, Paul wrote and said that they're just like a passing cloud, that they are inconveniences of this short-lived life cannot be compared with the glory that awaits us. There is a glory that awaits us. And the Bible tells us that it's not only in heaven, but even in this land of the living. If we follow after your ways and walk in obedience to your word, we will eat the good of the land. That means we are willing to eat of the good of the land. And that means we are willing to pursue the ways of God. So we declare tonight, oh God, oh, just a new anointing, a fresh anointing upon this congregation, a fresh anointing, oh God, for each one of us, for the little children, for the youth of this ministry, for the adults of this ministry, for those of our members that are online members. We call you to the purposes of God, and we declare you are connected. There is a divine connection that cannot be severed by anything earthly. The kingdom of darkness cannot sever that which had God has put together. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, we declare that we are walking in the unity of the will and the ways of God to experience the open doors that you have spoken to us. They are within our proximity. And so we do what it takes to walk in them. And we thank you. We bless you tonight, Lord. We remember the nation of Israel, and Lord, represented by our pastor, our spirits are there. The Bible says in Psalms 2 that why do the nations range and the people plot a vain plot? If the Lord God has not ordained it, it cannot happen. Therefore, we declare tonight, as a congregation that walks in the unity of the Spirit, that we have faith for the success of the nation of Israel. We cannot explain or express why you would highlight and choose our pastor to go to Israel at such a time like this. But we believe in the wisdom of God that only unfolds as your people seek it. So pastor went to Israel, believing to hear and to know the mandate of God upon his life and upon this congregation. So together we are in faith that he will hear accurately. He will know accurately the favor of God upon this ministry and upon his life by the seed that has gone ahead of him, O Lord our God. It will open divine doors for this ministry's connection with Israel. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, we declare that our prayers of faith, O Lord our God, are participatory, and they are playing a reasonable role in delivering the nation of Israel, which is your place of authority, and that is where you will rule and reign forever. So tonight, O Lord our God, we bless our pastor and the people that are with him, O Lord our God. May there be divine connections. May there be divine visitations. May there be revelations of the will of God. May the wisdom of God unfold what only the wisdom of God can unfold. May the ways of God be expressed by our pastor, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the victory of the nation of Israel against all odds, because the Bible says, is there anything too difficult with God? And we will echo that and answer, no. There is nothing that God cannot do. Therefore, may your ordinances for Israel forever be established, because you have no match and you have no equal. When you declare a thing, you watch over it to happen. So we know Israel comes out victorious against all odds. to the praise and to the glory of your holy and wonderful name. We thank you and we bless you for blessing our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.